This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we are going to talk today, because I just put in an order for a bunch of needles, about buying in bulk.
Yep.
And how you can do this effectively, and like what's good to buy in bulk, and maybe what you shouldn't buy in bulk, and then what to do when all your bulk stuff arrives at your house and how to handle that, right? Okay. So first of all, let's just start out with the perfect bulk item. Needles.
I think it is.
It's the perfect thing.
I think it is.
Let's pretend.
They need to change all the time.
Let's pretend you're like, I want to buy more things in bulk. Like, this is a goal of yours. This is the perfect thing because they're so small. Okay.
There you go.
Okay, so we're buying. Now, it's going to look really expensive. Okay.
Up front, it looks very expensive.
For sure.
Well, because it's 100 needles at a time,
yes,
right?
Yes, but even for you and me, who like, we're used to buying like needles, I was even like, whoa, you know, that's a lot of needles and that's a lot of money. So,
but we've done this before and we've used them.
Yes. And now we're out.
Right.
Okay. So normally you can buy needles in like a 5-pack, sometimes maybe like a 10-pack.
Sometimes they have those. But, yeah. And then sometimes they have that like multi-pack that had like
several sizes.
They'll be on a card. And have a sample of several packs. And sometimes that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So the type of needle we were buying in bulk, and this is the type of needle we would buy in bulk, is Microtex needles.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got size 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Right.
It is a needle we often use as just like a default.
Well,
needle.
We used to buy a lot of universals in bulk.
Yeah, exactly. And this sort of
Microtex has come universal to us.
Microtex is the new universal.
In a way. I mean, it's a very sharp needle. I grab it a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when I have a question of what am I going to use, I will grab the Microtex needle first.
It's just, it ends up working on a lot of things. Now, the opposite of a Microtex needle, a ballpoint needle.
Right.
That ends up being, it's like, oh, I'm going to use a Microtex. Or maybe I need a big old top stitch needle
A big old fat denim needle.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. But then the Microtex, their piercing power is so nice.
Mm-hmm.
So we just ordered 300 needles. I guess what we did. And, you know, I think on Amazon, they're around $60 to $70 a piece.
For 100.
For 100 of them. But that kind of makes sense.
Right.
Because they are normally about $1 a needle, I think, when you buy a card.
Yeah. But a card of needles is $5 or $6.
And you
could
split them with a friend. If you,
you could split them with a lot of people,
where you're like, this is kind of a big investment, and you just want 50 or, even 20 or something like that, you could split them up. And it does reduce the packaging amount for the needles.
That's true.
Also, you order 100 of them, and they've 150 of these needles, I'm going to be able to hold them in one hand.
I know.
It's such a small package.
Yeah, it's like a pack of mints.
Yes, it is.
You know.
And we reuse those little containers,
too.
We do. For other things. It's like a slidey-outy drawer kind of thing. We do get the Schmetz. You could probably buy bulk needles.
I've never been able to find bulk, so I don't know.
I can see
I'm sure there's others.
But they are the ones I trust.
They're the ones I know.
Yes, they're the ones that we really...
They're the ones we know.
That we really trust. So this bulk purchase, aside from maybe the price being a little bit of a shock, is one of the easiest bulk purchases.
Right. Well, anytime you buy in bulk, you know, you are getting a better price per item or, you know, per unit, say. Uh-huh. But you usually have to put out more money.
Got to put out more money up front.
Got to put out more space usually, but not needles.
Not with the needles. Okay, but here's the deal. we're saying, oh, these needles don't take up a lot of space. And I'm right. like, you need a place for your needles because you do not want to lose
you need
your
$70
worth
yeah,
of needles.
You want to go, my needles are here and no one touches them and they're mine. And, you know, this is my needle special place.
We even did one part of the Zigzag Live broadcast is you talking about how we store our needles.
Mm-hmm.
And it only takes up, you know, one drawer.
Right. It's not even whole drawer. Yeah.
Not even the whole drawer.
It's a little space.
But do, if you're someone who maybe you have like little kids running around
right.
because the playroom is the
same. I mean, what we
and...
really had them in is like a tackle box, and it's not the biggest tackle box.
Right.
It's like the one they sort of like, what would you say this is? Like 8x10 or something?
I don't know. But what say you? 8x10?
Oh, you know, I could even measure it.
You're far away from your microphone. People are going to get mad at me. But you can...
Well, they get mad at you, not me.
Mom thinks it's really important that you know the exact size of this tackle box.
10.5 inches.
10.5 by 7. 7. Okay.
That's close.
Just a little off. But if you are storing these someplace, do keep them in a safe place because... Losing a 5-pack of needles, you know, maybe right. in your mind wouldn't be such a big deal. But if you lose a 100-pack that has like 97 more needles in it, right. you might be upset. So make sure there's a spot. Now, these needles kind of show us the challenges.
Now, when we said that was the size of the space of the needles, those are all sizes of needles. It's not just those 3-packs.
That's right.
Just so to
we've
be
got
clear.
All the different right. styles and sizes. Right. And you can look in the Zigzagger broadcast. Right. I think it was like January of
the year.
Yeah,
I think we showed it.
Where we did something about the sewing space.
Right.
So what else, though, when you buy 100 yards of fabric,
mm-hmm.
that's going to take up a lot of space, no mm-hmm. matter how thin the fabric is.
Even though
is.
I've done it.
Okay, we have done
we've
it before.
We've done it a lot.
But I wouldn't. This is something that I probably wouldn't buy in what I would call bulk.
I certainly wouldn't buy a whole bolt or a whole roll of fabric if I did not have a specific intention for it.
That's right. Yeah.
Or that something that I reused over and over. Like we used to buy that specific drapery lining,
uh-huh.
like when we had the shop, because we did embroidery samples on it.
Yeah, to be honest.
Yeah, and we used it for other things too, but we knew we were going to use that over and over and over again.
You know, outside of a professional setting, I don't think I would buy.
Unless you're making 30 costumes.
Well, right. So right. I'm calling that professional.
And
you know, because sort of.
And knowing your intention.
Because I even think about jeans.
Right.
And I'm like, well, if I bought a bolt to me, like your minimum mm-hmm. on a bolt generally would be like 25 yards, 20 yards, something like that. Okay.
Well, depending
that's
on
the
what
lowest
kind of fabric, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the lowest yeah. you're
going to
be able
to do. Some quilting cottons you can get
15, but
yeah.
But that's still a lot of fabric. Like
right.
if I'm going to make, but
it's a lot.
You know, if you do have a family of 7, you're going to make everybody jeans. Hey, it might work out.
Right.
But even then, I probably want my jeans. I want to be like a blue pair. Maybe 2 blue pairs.
Well, that's
two black pairs.
Do you want them all
something.
The same?
Yeah, do
exactly.
I want everything the same? Now, this used to happen, of course, when you could get fabric on sale and then everybody in the family had the same mm-hmm. dress on, right?
And they were willing to wear it.
Yeah, because that's right. what there was.
Yes.
But fabric, the reason we don't buy it in bulk like that is for kind of those aesthetic reasons.
Well, another reason
and
is it is bulk.
That's
it's,
right.
It takes up a lot of space. So let me tell you a dot sequin story.
Yes.
So
doing
costumes, right? And I don't remember what we were doing, but we planned the season for the show choir.
Yeah.
And I bought pink dot sequin and blue dot sequin. And green dot sequin.
Yep.
And I believe I bought 2 bolts of each, which was 120 yards of each.
Oh, my.
Maybe it was 60 yards of each. Yeah,
okay.
30 yards a bolt, I guess.
Okay.
Okay. So fine and dandy. Then he canceled that number.
Oh, my.
Okay. We canceled that number. We did something else. So I have 6 bolts of dot sequin. Okay. At the time, we were still building on the... like onto this house. In
yes.
fact, did not have the studio yet.
Right.
Okay. Where can you store dot sequin? Well, I can't store it in my attic because my attic is not
unregulated temperature.
I would come and all the dots would be on the floor because they're glued, you know. So I had to take space in my personal walk-in closet and put this fabric in there. Now, 2 years later, right?
Yeah.
Yay, we did Sam, the pants are too long, and I got to make 30 pairs of too long pants for people out of dot sequin. But and certainly that was an incentive to make them out of dot sequin. Right. You know, but we still have some.
We do. And so
that was 20 years ago.
Fabric can go bad.
Yes, it can. So especially natural fibers.
It can.
Yes.
But I think one's biggest deterrent from buying the whole bolt, mm-hmm. unless you got a plan for it,
right.
but just like for fun. Because, I mean, with the needles, they're not going to go bad. They don't take a lot of, you know, space to store, et cetera. But with the fabric, if you don't have the proper place to store it, let's say you're going to move even something like that, then you could be in real big trouble. But...
And I mean, we have our silk separated from other things. So
I wanted to bring that up.
And the light doesn't, you know, it's sort of enclosed, but it has an airy place. We do all that stuff.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to bring up because the silk we own, the fur we own, is in its own container sort of thing in these wire cubes. And it's got a sheet over it. Mm-hmm. So dust, light.
But it gets air.
It's out of there, but it's got air. So that's good. And we didn't buy those things in bulk. We're just not using them right away.
No, those aren't even in bulk. No. Those were, you know, pieces left over or not used for
or special things.
You know, we bought them and they didn't get used or something happened.
Yes.
Right.
So that's not even particularly bulk, but that is what
it might be. A few pieces that I just saw and thought were like fabulous too, and said, I better buy this. I'll want it someday.
And I think some of the bulk things here in our studio, they really have to do with us having been business owners.
A lot of it is because you're in the business.
Like,
correct.
We have this interfacing.
Yes.
Someone gave us and we got like two bolts of it. I mean, that's not necessary for your typical, you know, home sewer. Like, if you have a small business doing something, maybe. So, you know, you don't need to buy...
You don't need to be us, that's for sure.
Yeah, you don't need to buy, like, fabric in bulk. One other thing that we'll cover that we think that you shouldn't buy in bulk before we take a break are certain glues and aerosols.
Especially, yes. Because they will de-aerosol easily.
De-aerosol.
So glues will get air in them and harden once you open them, or even if you don't open them. Because we've had paint that's never, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're talking about
art supplies.
Paint, right. And paint also can't freeze.
That's
another thing. Usually getting warm isn't as bad as freezing.
So when we would buy, even as a store, if we'd get a case of like aerosols in, mm-hmm. I'd only order one case at a time because I wanted fresh stuff. So even as a store, I wasn't ordering in a ton of things. So I would never.
You didn't want a back room full of aerosol. It was all out on the shelves.
And so from making our transition from being store owners to, you know, sewing at home and doing all of this stuff at home and not having to stock as much stuff, needles we'll still buy in bulk, but aerosols, we're like, oh, we're buying one at a time.
Right.
You know, this is, and I can see the price difference because maybe we can't get it wholesale or maybe we can't get it, you know, at a discount for buying bulk. But I'm like, you know, it's worth it because I don't want to buy something and just have it go bad, you know. No, I'm not saying we don't have a ton of glue. Compared to your average bear.
I'm not saying glue didn't go bad on us once
in a while. Yes, that too.
And part of it, that I think too is making sure you have it in a place where you know where it is.
Right.
The usage. You know, if you buy things and you don't know where they are, that's wasted money.
Yeah, try to have a space, you know, for things. And it doesn't have to be perfect and it doesn't have to be, you know, Pinterest worthy and there's a succulent next to it and stuff like that. But if you have a spot and you know that that's where you're...
That was pretty funny. A succulent next to it. Yes.
That was in one of our zines. That was in the...
Well, sometimes when I see those organizational things and I'm like, well, this is nice, but now you have another problem, right? They create another problem.
I'm so over, like...
cute?
It's called the millennial aesthetic, I think. Oh, yeah. I'm a millennial, but like everything's white and clean and stuff. And it's like, it's just not, my life's not like that all the time. And I've even done a lot of decluttering.
Yeah.
But my house still has a lot of like color and
right
a little bit of crap in it, you know? Right. So, and that's
well,
okay.
It's, you know, you're not, oh, you don't always have your house ready for show. And when I say show, it's what the realtor would call it.
Right, right.
You know, of course not. We don't want to talk about, like, the dirty, you know, washcloth sitting on the counter or whatever right. that happens to get there despite you, like, removing it 15 times mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, a house is to be lived in.
Right. So, you know, if your spot is a little unconventional, right. don't worry. Just put all the glue there so you know where to
label,
go.
Label. Yes. So you have a bucket of glue or you have a box of glue or whatever you have. Label.
And once again, we don't think that's something that you should buy a lot of right. ahead of time. Unless you know, okay, I'm going to be rhinestoning 50 costumes.
Right.
Boom. Get yourself some.
Right.
Get yourself a lot of glue. Okay.
Well, and, you know, sometimes maybe you do want two tubes of glue and not one because you don't want to run out
sure.
while you're rhinestoning.
In the middle right. of a project. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay. Let's take a quick break. Hey, ZD. Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
And we're back.
We're going to
continue with glue and rubber stuff.
So anything with glue, anything with rubber. So elastic.
Yeah.
So we buy elastic in bulk and we use it up.
We
use it
up. Typical civilians.
Right. But if anybody's ever had that swimming suit that they didn't have for 2 years and then they pulled it out and they stretched the waistband and it went and there was no, you know, the rubber disintegrated.
Right.
You know, its half-life is fast, apparently.
That's right.
Or faster than we'd like it to be. So be careful about things like elastic. And I love elastic on hand.
Yeah, we order spools of it. And right. actually, we messed up. We thought we were out.
We actually ordered an extra one. No problem. I've been using it like crazy since.
No, it didn't bug us at all. We weren't like, oh, no, this is going to go bad now.
Right.
You know, it was fine.
Right. And then anything that may have a glue or an adhesive on it. And this could be like a Pellon interfacing, an iron-on interfacing.
Wonder tape. Water-soluble stuff.
Stabilizers that you use in embroidery.
Yes.
Anything like that. And also water-soluble stabilizers.
Yeah, water-soluble. I want to bring that up. Yeah.
Anything that when exposed to air or moisture tends to start to lose its characteristics,
mm-hmm.
right? Glue will fall off. Glue
right.
will be, you know, it dries out, it becomes brittle and goes away. That's what happens to the water soluble.
It happens maybe a little faster with the thinner stuff. Like
right.
The
thinner it is because it has less moisture in it.
And I remember mm-hmm. some people like giving us, I think right. someone had died and they were like, we just want to give you this stabilizer. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, well, just take off your hands. We'll use what we can in class and stuff. You know, that's fine. And some of the water soluble stuff.
Right.
Maybe not the whole tube was bad, but like the end.
Right. The end
that
get
cut,
bad or whatever.
Yes.
Right. Because what air does is it dries things out or it adds moisture. I mean, it does both.
It does both.
Because your air changes.
Now, I will
say,
though.
Or at least it does here. Like some places, Some places are always moist and some places are always dry. But we have both.
But here's the deal.
My God, the sun is
out. I know. I was
The sun
I
is out. We
up.
Have not had the sun for a long time.
I was like, I'm sitting here podcasting.
Yeah, and the sun is coming right through our...
I'm turning and I see blue sky. Okay, right. You're not supposed to talk about the weather. It's like a rule.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like no one else cares is the rule.
I do, yeah. I was needing some sunshine, guys.
Yeah, okay, well, let's finish this podcast up so we can go outside. No, okay, so the thing about bulk, though, is if you buy a bulk, like a huge bolt of one of these types of stabilizers, it could degrade. However, if you were to come across being able to buy it in bulk in individual rolls,
that helps.
Perhaps you would feel more comfortable if they were sealed up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there is that caveat. However, talk about some space. Okay, like storing a bunch of stabilizer.
Or losing it and forgetting what you have.
Yes.
That happened too.
That's a big possibility, unless you have a good spot
I think
for
we
it.
Sold stabilizer, oversold stabilizers. So people would come in and go, oh, I need that. And
I'm like,
I
no,
need
you
that.
Don't.
And then I would say, I just sold this to you last week. You did? Maybe you want to check. And we could check what people had bought in our store.
No, people, oh, man. I don't know if any of you, dear listeners, have ever gone to a stabilizer selling event, but they were often described in the industry. And I love stable. I mean, I like the companies who really care about their stabilizer and they make our embroidery lives easier. And it's wonderful. But yeah, people would just be like, oh, that's the event where people buy a bunch of stabilizer they already have.
And they or they don't know what it is. Yes. That was always the big thing, too. Right.
So anyway. Be careful buying that in bulk. Once again, if you've got the space for it, good. If you have a good place where it can be, you know, easily accessed. Otherwise, you'll just keep going to the store for it.
So most of the things we are talking about today, too, are things that you use up. You know, we're not talking about, well, go out and buy six pairs of, sewing shears unless you want, you have a station for six pairs of sewing shears.
Right.
You know, we're talking about things that get used, basically, they're consumables.
Yes. You know, one thing I do sell in bulk, sort of, I consider it bulk, on our website, is the Easy Check snap and slide tape measure.
Uh-huh.
And from a business person perspective, I sell it in bulk because it doesn't cost a lot extra to ship more than one. And I have to buy a lot of them to get them shipped here. And it's something people can share easily with their friends.
Well, it's also it's a good gift.
It's a good gift.
And we like them in different... I have one in my bathroom.
Sure. But
it's not like I only have one.
A lot of people end up buying them in bulk around the holiday season. Right. So that's just another sort of thing there. Okay. But another thing that if you come across to buy in bulk, we think that is a good idea are snaps and closures.
Any kind of closure you might want. I would hate to have to get out and go to the store for one little dinky winky little snap.
You also though might
it would drive me crazy.
Buried in buttons like we are right
now.
Oh
my gosh, we're buried in buttons. We need the button Holloway people.
Those of you familiar with the situation might know that I bought out the inventory of a shop that had a bunch of buttons.
Right.
We have a lot of buttons. I was just thinking, so if people make online orders, maybe they should get, some dot sequin and some buttons.
They definitely should get some buttons.
Maybe that'll be
I can pack those suckers up now.
Right.
I can start doing that.
That's right. Some of them are kind of heavy. But anyway, yes, we have a lot
I'll pack up the light buttons.
Okay, except I wanted to put buttons on that shirt one time, and I couldn't find them.
No,
And I was like, no, they're here
What's
somewhere.
Really awful is when you have a truckload of something. And whatever you have doesn't quite work for
you. And you had told me where they were. And then I did remember eventually, but I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot go buy buttons.
I know.
Not with the amount of buttons we have.
And the same thing happens with us with zippers.
That's right.
So we have lots of zippers. We will buy zippers in bulk. We have zippers left over from when we had a store. Well, not many. But what happens is I'm like, what do you mean I don't have a zipper that works for this?
Right.
Or the zipper I had in mind. That's when Mallory and I have gotten into how you dye zippers and all that kind of stuff.
Dye
because
a zipper, just
that's
use the invisible zipper, on everything,
but,
all the time.
I mean, if I saw zippers and they were a buck a piece, I'd be buying them.
Okay, and then you can buy zippers, quote unquote, in bulk when they're you buy a bunch of zipper tape.
Right, we buy the rolls, the tapes. I mean, that's the way we usually purchase.
So that's another way to buy zippers.
But
in bulk.
If I went in and there were like. It was a store, and they say had their parka zippers on sale, and they were $2 a piece. I might pick out some that I thought I liked
and
spend that money and take them home and put them in my zipper box.
Yeah, as long – I mean, I don't think that zippers are a thing someone would, like, hang in a window or something. And they're easier to put in a box, but this
again,
is where –
they're not huge.
Yeah, this is where you do need to store stuff out of the light.
Yes.
Because it could break down a plastic zipper or something like that. It's easier to store, though, than, like, a bolt of fabric.
And I guess one reason we're talking about this, too, is the way Mallory and I like to sew is – we just think something up and go up into our studio. We don't go hit the store.
No.
You know, I always think it's funny when they ask me, do you need thread for that?
Do you need a matching spool of thread? I mean, it's a good question. No, I'm not making fun of anybody, but I do.
I feel like saying, I bet I could give you one. Yeah.
I was like, listen, I bet. Yeah. Well, I was in a home goods store. And whenever I see, like, a small retail store, my heart always
little pitter-pat.
I'm like,
maybe I can buy something from them. Yeah.
I'm like, these poor people.
Yeah, they're working so hard for so little.
Here, yes. You know, but they're selling goods that are, like, kind of sustainable and stuff. But they did have some really cool textiles. And she was kind of trying to sell them to me. And I said, I really can't buy anything made of fabric. I was like, it would be really silly of me.
Right.
You know, hence that knitted trivet, which we'll discuss on another podcast. So anyway, we do like to have our tools at hand. And you know, I was thinking about this podcast and this buying in bulk and everything, and I knit. I don't crochet a lot, but I do knit. And I don't think that I was always coached very well when I was buying yarn.
Oh, and like the amount?
Yes, because now what I want to do, like if I want to knit a sweater, you need 6, 7, nine balls of
yarn. Don't buy two.
And I didn't want to go in and say, oh, I kind of like that color. I'm going to buy 9 of them. You know, but I'd like the color. Okay, but now I do have to find a project for those things.
Right.
And I think knitting is a little different for me in that I believe from now on I will only buy yarn if I have a project in mind.
Well, and
whereas with fabric, I am so set up.
Well, and I think
for a different thing.
Yeah, and I think this addresses this, that you have to we all have to sit down and analyze how we work, how we want to work. You know,
right?
Or what are we going to do in the future, or whatever? Because we're all different.
Yes,
you know,
we all have
if
styles.
I had a ton load of quilting cotton, what would I do with it?
No, exactly.
Because all I do is make like jeans pockets out of it.
There you go.
Yeah,
you
know, or line a purse. But you know, I don't make quilts.
And we do kind of have some quilting cotton
have some. Right,
but it does sit there longer than some other things I can think of. Let's talk about thread.
Definitely thread.
Okay.
I can't stand it. I couldn't stand it if I didn't have thread. I'd go crazy. Thread and needles. Got to have thread and needles.
So I would feel comfortable buying a polyester thread in bulk.
Yes.
Because of the type of sewing we do.
That's right.
We kind of default to the polyester. Like, I would go, I'd call buying 5 black serger threads bulk. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
10, whatever.
Well, we buy 5 black, 5 blue, and 5 red.
I would
and 5,
do it.
Yes, yes. We have plenty of serger thread.
And we've done a whole podcast on
and
serger
we have,
thread.
And we have, and that's just the regular serger thread. Then we have the stretch thread.
That's right.
Yes.
But in terms of like cotton quilting thread and cotton.
Or rayon or any.
Yeah.
Silk usually goes first.
Right.
I mean, those things disintegrate with light, air, heat.
So you don't want to buy.
They just disintegrate even if you're taking good care of them.
Yeah. You don't want to buy like a huge box of those with no plan.
Right.
Now, maybe you need a huge box at some point.
You're a big quilter and that's what you use, get it.
Go, go, go. Yeah. Exactly. Like I'm thinking these silky blendables, you know, that we kind of use occasionally. Now, when we say that these natural fibers degrade, I'm not saying it takes 3 days.
No.
Okay. But you can have this sewing hobby for decades.
And the other thing, because they degrade so easily with the elements, you need to be more aware. Definitely don't hang your thread, you know, in the light. Actually, you know, the thing about a spool rack I don't really like. Because dust gets on your thread, and there are dust mites that eat your thread.
Yum, yum, yum.
Okay, yummy.
Yeah.
I mean, cover your spool rack.
Right.
And when we had spool racks, that we did. We have like we had big pieces of shower curtain that
shower
went over them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thread, depending on the thread, isn't too terrible to store a lot of the time, but you can get really cool storage solutions
for
a thread that are one place where it's nice to get something sort of specific because there are these spools.
Now we have the room and we have a lot in basically bookshelves right now.
Yes.
Which has worked out really well for
us. The bookshelves are working nicely.
But we also have some in drawers
and
we have some in boxes.
That's right. So, but if you have the opportunity to like
clear boxes.
Yeah. If you have the opportunity to stock up, but maybe this is something else we should talk about. Beware when you're given the opportunity to buy bulk. Ask yourself, why is this thing available in a large quantity at a discounted price? Is it because it's from a wholesaler and that's okay? Am I getting pricing like that? Or is this someone's old crap that hasn't been well taken care of and is being put forth in maybe not the best way?
And that's when you inherit things or you see them in a garage sale. You know, it might not, the quality may have, it's past its time maybe.
Yeah. Or even, I mean, sometimes in a store, if you see something on sale and you're like, oh, now's the time to stock up, like make sure it's not some like old thing or if it has an expiration date
on really
it
be old.
Something like that, you know, feel those tubes of glue,
feel
the paint, you know, tubes, feel the, you know, I don't know if you can really like take thread off and break it. That's probably not legal.
They probably won't let you do that.
Feel the fabric. Or do you see that the fabric is sun faded and that's why you can buy the whole bolt?
Or has a croc line. Does everybody know what a croc line is? So a croc line is usually where the fabric's been folded and elements have done something to it. They've either made it darker, lighter, or that
discolored
in some way, or that fold is in there for the duration.
Forever.
So it's fine if you want to use that fabric on either side of that fold, but you may not be able to get that particular disfigurement out of it.
That's right. And so, you know, we have like power mesh, you know, and I do offer it at a bit of a discount when you like get more and things like that. But I don't know if that's necessarily bulk, you know.
Well, I overbuy fabric on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In fact, I know someone that, you know, used some fabric of mine and they cut something out wrong and they needed more of it. So buying extra fabric is not you know, if I need, I rarely buy less than 2 yards or 3 yards of something.
Extra and bulk, though,
there's a difference there.
Yes.
Although we wind up with a lot of fabric.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I'm going to use it all up. I'm like, oh.
Sometimes I think I won't ever buy any till I use enough to make the space for more. But
sometimes
seem to
you
work.
Think that.
Yeah.
But when I made that circle skirt for my friend, I was like, oh, this stuff, we're never going to wear this. This is not something we want to make like clothes for ourselves out of. I'm going to use up all this fabric. And I was left with like a half a yard. I was like, I can't just throw this away. You know, I was like, I have to roll this back up and put it back on the shelf. Why couldn't I have used it all? So anyway, it was kind of funny. All right. Well, we hope that, you know, tells you if you're interested in stocking up on some things, stock up on some things.
Right.
Maybe don't stock up on everything. Don't get stuck with too much stuff that you can't manage.
Don't get excited. It's not a good deal if it's not right for you.
Yeah. Or if your space is going to be so overwhelmed that you can't work.
You know what
it.
We didn't talk about?
No.
Beads.
Oh.
Because they're bought in bulk.
I
guess it's one thing I wanted to say because they come in bulk.
They do.
So I would have a way to store them. I would think about how I'm going to...
Like your custom bead cabinet?
Yeah, I do have a custom bead cabinet.
That we share.
But what I'm saying is, you know, when you know you're going to have those things left over, make a place for them.
Right.
That's what I would say.
You know, that's very good advice. Or maybe even you know someone you can pass them on to.
Well, that's right, too.
You know...
There's always the Girl Scouts, you know.
I'm trying to kind of grow that, like, local network a little bit more because... I want some things secondhand sometimes, or sometimes I don't. I'm a little traumatized right. by that sometimes. But occasionally, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I wouldn't mind having one of those if I don't want to buy it new, you know, or if somebody had some of that, I would take it off their hands, you know. And so I'm trying to grow that a little bit, you know, locally. Anyway, but good point about the beads. If you need pink and blue and black beads for a project, and you buy them in the tubes,
right.
depending on your project, I guess. But you will end up with some left over.
Yes,
possibly.
You will.
Highly.
Probably.
Probably, even if you do that really tightly.
Yeah, because then you'll probably have to buy two things of them.
Yeah, and then you'll have some left
over.
You
won't have quite, you know, one tube won't be enough.
Right.
And you have to buy whatever.
Exactly.
Or string or whatever, Yanks or whatever you buy them in.
Hanks.
Yanks. Yeah, I'm a Yankee.
I know you know what a Hank is.
I know.
Which makes
That's
that
funny.
Even funnier.
That is funny.
Like you're the one who taught me the
I
word
yank
Hank.
The Hank. You do yank the Hank,
You do
too.
Yank the Hank. I remember you, like, telling me when you carried beads at the shop, you're like, this is a Hank of beads. You know, you told me what it was. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. Let us know if you've gotten any good bulk deals on something, if there's anything you're buying in bulk. But needles, definitely. If you're, you know, wanting to make sure you're all stocked up and good to go, those are a good thing to go for, like we started with. All right, ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.